We are gonna not get out on time tonight. Just gonna go ahead and say it. It's not gonna happen because I didn't get up here until just now to get to do this. And whew, all right. Did any of you happen to see? I think I posted like something this morning. Anybody have a clue what the topic tonight is? Did y'all see? Don't be anxious. Anxiety. Yeah. All right. If you've been around, it's not the first time that I've addressed it, but it's going to be the night that I actually just focus on it. Like, that's the point of the night. We're going to talk about the A word that everybody and their mother apparently has now. We're going to talk about anxiety. And actually, we're going to look at what Jesus says about it. Not what Jacob says, what Jesus says. And so, I want to read Scripture, because I want Scripture to speak first. And then we'll go from there. So, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. This whole series is the teachings of who? So who is talking right now? Cool. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I'm not one of those people that says, the Bible is the playbook of life. Stop. No. Like, there are people who will sit there and swear up and down that the Bible has all the answers. And it does. But we got to be careful how we phrase that. Because if you're trying to figure out who to ask for ask to homecoming, the Bible's not going to have a verse that says Jacob should ask Hannah to homecoming. By the way, my Hannah, not the other Hannah. That's just to clarify. Sorry, that's a complicated issue now. But, like, there's not a verse that says that. Now, there's verses about Jacob and Leah and Rachel, but we're not talking about that tonight. But there's not a verse. Like, you're not going to go to, like, James and it be, you should ask. No, like, we don't have that. The Bible is not just this, like, it's not an answer book. It's not Google. It's not Google. It's not something you just go for a quick fix of an answer. But it is the very Word of God. And it is life, and it is living. And the more you live in this, the more the Word of God lives inside of you, and more the wisdom of God lives inside of you. But this is one of those times where we have a societal issue, and we're like, what does the Bible say? Well, I'll tell you exactly what the Bible says. It says don't. End of message. Just don't. Have you ever just tried not being anxious? Like, I'm kidding, because I can see the fire in some of your eyes, because some of you, like me, actually wrestle with this. And you're like, it doesn't work like that. There's not an off button. Jesus doesn't say there's an off button. That's not what he's saying in this passage. But he does address anxiety. And so I want to spend just a second just to kind of give you an explanation of why is this dude up here talking about it. Before the day where it was a badge of honor to have any sort of mental, emotional, psychological issues. Before it was a badge of honor, and everybody has to have some sort of a diagnosis, before the days that you're living in, you didn't admit to having stuff. Like, we just didn't talk about it. Like, I didn't go around high school like, oh, I'm sorry, I have anxiety. Like, no, that was not a thing, okay? So the number of people who are diagnosed is so much higher than it used to be. Yes and no, because we just didn't talk about it, which is problematic in and of itself. But I'm the kid that used to, like, fake being sick to get out of having to give a speech. It's ironic that I now do this for a living, but I was the kid that literally would like lie. I lied in college in public speaking. I walked in, like from the moment I got in the building until I left, I faked having lost my voice to not have to give the speech because I was like throwing up, nervous about having to give a speech in front of people. It's a true story, not proud of it. I'm the kid that used to like, I've told you before, I'm a control freak. Well, the reason that I'm a control freak is not anything other than the fact that I'm just so high strung about it all that just let me do it. Just let me do it. I would rather me do it and do it wrong than you do it and do it wrong. Like, just give it to me and just let me do it, please. It's like, my brain is crazy, right? Like, it just is. It doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And so there's all, like, those kinds of things. But for me, situationally, mine will skyrocket. I know there are some people who just live in a state of perpetual anxiety. I'm not that, and I want to be honest. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm the poster child for anxiety. I'm not. I have situational, awful anxiety, and then I'm fine. My whole reason for it, Jesus actually addresses. We'll get to that in a second. But I just want to be, I want to be transparent that while I'm not an expert, I do have experience with this. And so I know some people, you feel like you have nobody to talk to. Nobody understands. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands. So maybe I don't exactly understand. But I do have enough experience to kind of understand this one. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of the adults up here have been nodding very aggressively at things that I've been saying. So I don't think I'm alone in you having a slew of people who have had to learn how to deal with being anxious about stuff in a very different way than how you're getting taught how to deal with it. Does that make sense? Yes, no, maybe? Cool. So just to kind of like to rip the Band-Aid off and just get it out there, the season of life before coming here, trying to decide whether or not this was what God was calling us to do. I got a couple of text messages saying there was an opening. I basically said no. My wife basically said no. 24 hours later, she said, maybe we need to go visit them. And then like 6 months later, I was here and I was the student pastor. And it's just this nice, easy story, right? No, this is a story where I ended up having a full-blown panic attack in our kitchen and was like sitting in the floor, unable to move, unable to function, couldn't get my hands to work, couldn't do anything. And my wife looked at me and she was like, hey, I think you might need to go see somebody. And I did. And it was super awkward. And I hated it the first time and the second time and the third time. But like, I don't know, third, fourth, fifth time, I was like, okay, like I can kind of see where this is, like I've uncorked the bottle, things are flowing out, this is a little bit better, okay. So I've been to counseling, I've had panic attacks, I've dealt with the anxiety of, it's not even that I made a mistake, it's I'm going to get in trouble for making a mistake. Like that's been like my whole life I remember being a pitcher, playing baseball. I wanted to win, but more than that, I really just didn't want to lose because I didn't want to get in the truck with my dad after the game and have to listen to it, okay? And like I love my dad.
Dad, if you're listening, I love you.
But at the same time, like, there was a part of me that wanted to, like, win the game, but there was a much bigger part of me that didn't want to get my butt chewed out for losing, right? It's like, I lived in that world. Like, I knew that an A was what was expected, not a B. I knew it was what was, it's like, I get it. I've been in the academic, the athletic, the social, the public speaking, the relationship things. Like, I've been in all those things, big decision making. I've seen it. Am I like a walking expert in it? No, but do I have experience with it? Yes. And so if you do too, just please hear me. You're not alone. There's several adults up here, including me, who would love to try to walk with you through some stuff. That being said, what does Jesus say? He says, therefore, which leads us to our first thing. Always, when we see the word therefore, what is it there for? That is always what you do. Anytime you see the word therefore, you go, what's it there for? Because it's always a call back to something. And this is a call back, not to something I preached on, but to what Jody preached on last week, because this is literally the next verse. What did Jody preach on last week? Eternal treasures versus earthly treasures. There's this whole passage. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He spent a whole night talking about we should be working for the eternal treasures, not the earthly treasures. Therefore, This whole thing is a continuation. This is not a standalone. This is, we already have to address one thing before we can do the rest of this. Is our focus supposed to be on building up our earthly life? No, our focus should be on building up the eternal kingdom of God. With that in mind, therefore, that's how this whole passage starts. This is not something, you can't just like walk in and go, all right, what does Jesus say? No, 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 you got to back up a little bit. You've got to restructure your point of view to even start to understand this. So if we take away the word therefore, then you just have, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Well, if we remove the word therefore from this, then this kind of becomes almost an unfair thing. Jesus just cold, with no warm-up, with no intro, just says, hey, don't worry. Oh, thanks, Jesus. Never thought to try that. Like, come on. Like, it's not like somebody who's having a panic attack goes like, yes, I wanted this. I so wanted to be, like, fighting my own demons in my head at all times. I wanted to have paralyzing fear about all decision-making. I wanted to be really bad at relationships because I just can't trust my... I wanted this. No. Nobody wants that. Jesus isn't saying, have you tried turning the light switch off? He's not saying that. This is therefore. Because of the other things I've already taught you, stop trying to build an earthly kingdom and build the eternal one. Because of that, do not be anxious about your life. See, the passage before this ended, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The last thing he says before therefore is he says, hey, where's your devotion? What are you devoted to? Not what all do you care, but we care about a lot of things. I care about Texas football. I'm not devoted to Texas football. I care about it. I'm not devoted. I'm not putting any money into that program. Okay? It gets 3 hours on a Saturday and about 30 minutes grand total of fighting those two morons back there in the back about it throughout the week. Like, that's what it gets. I like Texas football. I'm not devoted to it. I'm devoted to my wife, I'm devoted to my children, I'm devoted to you guys as a church. But what Jesus has just said is you better not have anything above me in the devotion category. And so I need to be devoted to Jesus and from there love my wife, from there love my children, from there love you guys, from there serve. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So this whole passage is not some cold open where Jesus just walks in and says, hey, Bentley, don't worry about it. It's fine. That's not what this is. He's not just walking in and going, hey, Hannah, don't worry. Everything's fine. Just no stress. Everything's easy. It's not what he's saying. He's like, hey, Ricky, because of everything else I've already said, therefore, let's not be anxious. And then he unpacks it because Jesus was fully God and fully man, human. He experiences all the stuff. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. But he begins, therefore, since we're not devoted to things of the world, but to God, don't be anxious. But then he says, look at the birds. I love this because this is the one where you see who's afraid of birds and who's not. Because some people are afraid of birds, and it cracks me up. Not that I'm making fun of you, but that to me is just like a really weird fear to have. And so people that are afraid of birds are like, I don't want to look at the birds. Okay, Jesus saying look at the birds, right? So we're going to look at the birds. So look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Three things about this. Look at the birds. Jesus does not say the birds don't work. He doesn't say the birds don't work. He's not saying they don't go get food. He's saying they do not obsessively go build future food. They get what they need and they move on. They deal with right now. We don't see birds building up, you know, their nest egg, which is a really ironic thing that birds don't operate that way. Like, we're like, I got to have a retirement plan and I got to have a this and that and everything else. And I mean, that's true. But man, we can obsess over those things, can't we? He's not saying don't work. He's saying, look at the birds. Like, they're not, a bird is not missing today's meal because he's thinking about tomorrow's. Jesus is saying, he's not saying not to work. He is saying that God provides. Where do the birds get their food? Really, like, where does birds get food from? Nature? Who creates nature? Let's try it again. Who creates all of nature? Thank you. Okay, so the Lord provides. That's what he does. And then Jesus is saying that the birds don't worry about tomorrow's food today. Already said that. Like, birds are not walking around going, oh man, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? No, birds are flying around like, I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat now. And then I'm content, and they fly on, they go do something else. Birds are not future-focused, they're now-focused. And guess what? Are the birds dying because they're not thinking about tomorrow? No, guess what? Tomorrow just becomes the new today, and they just deal with today. That's all they deal with, and they're content. They just live their little dumb bird lives. God provides, they get what they need, they move on. Then Jesus goes on. He says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? The Jacob translation of that is what good is accomplished by obsessing over the things that aren't here yet or that are outside of your control? See, and this is the hard part for me. I get so stuck in my own head sometimes. And then Pastor Brian will go, what are you actually asking right now? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I can't actually put a name to it. And what's really funny is every time that I'm like, I'm about to throw up because I can't make a decision, and Brian or Hannah is like, hey, what are we actually worrying about right here? I'm like, I actually don't know. That's a great question. I can't name it. I don't know. There's a lot of times where there's just, the wheel spins so fast and goes nowhere, and somebody asks, like, hey, where are you trying to go? Oh, I'm just trying to go in there. I could just walk. That's my bad. What do we get? What do we get by obsessing over this? What good does it do to lose sleep? What good does it do for you to obsess over? What good does it do you to miss out on now because you're worried about tomorrow? Like, what are you actually getting out of that? Nothing but poor health. Maybe losing relationships. We get nothing out of it. And when we actually say that out loud, when we actually go, hey, Callan, what are you getting out of worrying about stuff? Like, what is it doing for you? Is worrying helping you? Are you solving it? Are you figuring it out? You're like, oh, nope. It's actually not helping me any. Again, he's not saying, like, just turn the switch off. He's saying, think. Stop for a second and think. Like, what are you actually getting out of worrying all the time? Nothing. It accomplishes nothing if you just sit there and go, what am I going to do? 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 Like, that doesn't do anything. Instead of worrying about it, just get to work. Instead of worrying about the what ifs and the what's going to come, just get to work. Like, that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, just do it. Just start walking. Quit worrying about which way you're going to go and just start walking. We'll figure out each turn when we get there. I don't need you to figure out the next 17 turns. Just walk. When we get to a turn, we'll figure it out. Like, that's what he's saying here. And I know that that doesn't make everybody feel all nice and warm and fuzzy. But I want to clarify that Jesus' truth and popular truth, I think that's the next thing. Yeah, Jesus' truth is not always popular truth. In fact, a lot of times it's not popular truth. Because Jesus' truth says that he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. So any other way you have of living life and being good, guess what? It's not right if it's not his. Any other answer and solution you have, it's not his, it's going to be wrong. Because, I think we already, Jesus' truth is always the only real truth. And so we can have all the popular stuff out there today of like, you got to live your best life, and you got to this, and you got to cut this, and you got to do this, and you got to do those things. And some of it's true. If I start scrolling on Instagram, in like a minute, I'm going to find a reel. It's like some kind of self-help reel. It's going to be something about like me getting back control of my mental health, or me getting rid of anxiety, or me focusing my ADHD. Like, I need help with that. Like, it's going to be some sort of mental health little tidbit here. And sometimes it's helpful, but a lot of times it's crap. I'm not going to find a verse in here that talks about ADHD. I'm not. But if I spend my time in the truth of God's word, and I let it soak into my brain, into who I am as a person, then what's going to start to come out is a reflection of that. I'm not saying that reading the Bible cures ADHD. I'm not saying that if you just, hey, why don't you just go read Lamentations, it'll fix your anxiety. No, not that's really not a bad, that's a really bad idea. It's not a good idea at all. That's a terrible idea. Because Lamentations, not a good book for those of you that are already kind of stressed out and worried about things, right? Maybe go read like Psalm 1 and then stop. Because like it doesn't really get better. I'm not saying the Bible is like your cure. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If when I was having a panic attack in my kitchen, my wife would have handed me my Bible, I'd have hit it. Well, I'd have tried. My hands weren't really working at the moment. But like, it would have been frustrating. Like, please don't shove Genesis in my face when I'm like in the middle of like, I'm going to vomit because I'm so stressed out. But the truth of this is never, ever, 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 ever going to let me down or mislead me. And the more that I listen to Scripture, the more that I spend time in Scripture, the more that I'm going to see stuff like this, where there's a whole passage where Jesus doesn't say, here's the exact diet and medicine to fix anxiety, here's the exact lifestyle choices to fix your ADHD. He doesn't say that, but he does say, I tell you, do not be anxious, and here's how. Here's things to work on, things to change, things to shift. And so, Jesus' truth may not always be popular, but it is always the real truth. Real quickly, the next kind of like quote out of this, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Please don't miss this. Jesus, at no point is Jesus saying, hey, you're worrying about things that don't matter. They do matter. It absolutely, like, stuff matters. He's not saying, hey, Chesney, just don't worry about it. None of it actually matters. Because he says, the Gentiles seek after all these things, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So like, I'm not going to like embarrass anybody beyond this. If grades are one of the things that just stress you out, like schoolwork and grades are like a big problem for you, raise your hand. Okay. Grades matter. They do. They absolutely do. And God knows. God knows what you need. He knows. It's not saying, hey, grades don't matter, forget it. School doesn't matter, don't worry about it. It's not saying that. It's saying, stop obsessively worrying about it. God knows you need it. God's going to provide what you need. Because really, what this is coming down to is, what are you trying to build, that earthly or that eternal kingdom? Because if getting the perfect grade has become your idol, well, now we've got a problem. If getting the grade to appease your parents has become the goal in your life, now we have a problem. So Jesus isn't saying, hey, Sam, your grades don't matter. He's saying, Sam, don't let grades cripple you, and don't let grades become the thing you obsess over, and don't let, Brooklyn, don't let your grades be the thing that you lose sleep over at night. Like, do your work. God knows what you need. Seek after the Lord, do your work, and the Lord will provide. That does not mean that, oh, I don't have to work. God's just going to give me an A+. That's not what that means. But do today's work. Jesus is warning against seeking happiness and contentment and fulfillment in things that really are secondary at best. But then he says this, and I know I got to wrap this up. We're way over. It's ridiculous. Quit looking for the time. You don't have the timer's not up anymore. I got the timer taken down. Thank you. But seek first. Listen. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Here's the Jacob translation. Focus on the kingdom of God, and the king will give you what you need. We are soldiers and servants of a king, and it is his job to run the kingdom, not ours. And in history, if we treated a physical earthly king the way we treat the eternal holy king, we would probably be executed. Because we walk around a lot of the time telling the king what's up and what to do. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, change this. God, fix this. God, do this. Why are we not doing this? We're going to lose if we don't this. Like, we're very bossy for people who are servants. Focus on the kingdom, and the king will provide what you need. So I don't want you to miss the fact that the one who designed you, built you, and breathed life into your lungs knows every detail about you, which includes he knows the consequences of sin. So God did not design me to be an anxious person. That is a result of sin, long web of sin and stuff. It's not that I sinned and therefore I'm anxious. It's not how it works. It's a part of the earth becoming corrupted. So like Adam and Eve, created, born, Adam wasn't walking around anxious. He wasn't walking around anxious in the garden. All the stuff like that has happened after the fall of man. Here's the thing. God created you. He designed you. And he also knows that if this is in your life, this is going to change about you. He knows the defects of the design. He's not shocked and surprised if you deal with constant anxiety. He's not shocked. And I think a lot of times, like, we're afraid to say anything. Who are you hiding from? The God of the universe, the designer and creator of all things, the one that keeps your heart beating for you, you think he doesn't know that you're stressed out and anxious? Of course he knows. What are we really doing? We're not trying to, like, hide from God. We're protecting, like, our own, like, shame. Like, we just don't want to deal with it. Deal with it. Go to God about it. And so no better example of how to deal with this than Jesus himself. If we can jump to, I think it's the Luke 22 stuff. If we can jump to Luke 22. I'm going to read this. I'm going to kind of just end with this tonight. Hey, D group leaders, because I know there's no way that we can, like, get to our kids and stuff. We're going to take this D group, and we're going to just sling it into next week, okay? And we're going to expand on this a little bit. This is going to be a more than one-nighter, okay? So, cool. Great. Luke 22. This is the garden. This is right before Jesus gets arrested, okay? And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The one who tells us do not be anxious, but know that the Lord will provide, is the one who experienced the most anxious moment in all of human history. Jesus, the one who created all things, knows all things, also knows he's about to become the one who has to carry all things. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows that he is about to be completely overwhelmed with the guilt of your sin and 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 my sin. He knows that all the sins, your deepest, darkest, secret sins, and then the ones that we just kind of joke about, all of it. He knows it's coming. You want to talk about anxiety? Know that you're the only hope of salvation for the entire world, and it's going to all get put on your shoulders. You are the perfect Son of God, and you are about to become the suffering servant who has to carry the sin of all of humanity ever. Your math test isn't as stressful now, is it? No, it's still stressful because that's your thing that you have to carry. But when Jesus says, "Hey, don't be anxious, give it to the Father," he also lives it out. If we can go back real quick to the verses. He withdrew from them, verse 42 in the middle. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." That is an honest prayer. Jesus isn't saying, "Hey, God, everything's great." He's like, "Please, like, if there's any other way this can work, could you please take this?" It's an honest prayer. He's not hiding it. He's like, "Hey, God, everything's fine. I'm supposed to be perfectly fine and everything's fine." He's like, "Father, please, if you can take this, please take it. I don't want this." But this is the example Jesus gave. He prayed. He was honest. But don't miss Nevertheless, so I'm honest, but not my will, but yours be done. Even in our honesty, seek first the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus taught us. It's also what Jesus showed us. There's honesty. There's also seeking first the kingdom of God. And it's in this prayer that we see where Jesus, look, he wept, he was thirsty, he was hungry, he was frustrated. Jesus felt the weight of life and of being called to something so great and honestly terrifying. But Jesus lived an example that backs up what he taught. And so for us, therefore, that the passage ends, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious in itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus didn't say, hey, don't worry about it, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, don't let it consume you, because your Father knows that it matters. Your Father knows what you need. You have enough to deal with today. Don't let tomorrow cripple you. You have enough to deal with right now. Don't let things that are out of your control, things that are far away, be what destroys you. And so, just to get us out of here, this is it. Kind of a quick, oversimplified how to be less anxious. And this is pot calling the kettle black. Like, this is, I'm actively having to work on this daily, multiple times a day, all the day, every day, all the time. All right, so here we go. Force yourself to focus.
Force your focus?
Yeah. Force your focus to things to be thankful for. I'm really bad at this. I'm a pessimist, and everything's just bad and awful all the time. No, it's not. I just obsess over the bad and awful. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a whole lot of good stuff. I have got to force myself, not try. I got to force myself to focus on the positives, on the things to be thankful for. I'm not lying. I'm not creating fake good things, but I'm going to focus on the good things. I've got to force my head to focus on the things, the blessings of God. We get consumed by the concerns of this world, and we completely forget and neglect the blessings of God. When you feel yourself slipping, you've got to start naming, writing down whatever you've got to do, the things to be thankful for. Number two, pray like Jesus. Pray honestly, passionately, and consistently. And this isn't like, oh, I'm starting to freak out, I got to go pray. No, we need to have already been praying. This is not like the quick fix medicine. You don't just like, hey, when you're freaking out, take the medicine. No, this is a lifestyle thing. There's a healthy diet of prayer required. We've got to be consistently in the Word and in prayer, so there is a lifestyle of that to protect us. It's not a quick fix that you go to in a panic. It's a lifestyle change. And then third, what Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God over the kingdom of self. Because if we're really honest, a lot of the things that we're most anxious about are where we are trying to play God. Most of the things that we are most stressed and anxious about are where we think we're the king and queen, we're the God of the universe. I'm stressed because this is not going the way that I want it to go. Who put you in charge? Seek first the kingdom of God, because he simplifies things. Instead of the encyclopedia of stuff that we stress and worry about, he says, go and make disciples. Love me with all your heart and love others. Go make disciples. If I focus on glorifying God instead of glorifying myself, I'm instantly going to cut a ton of the anxiety out of my life. I'm not saying that I'm going to be a completely at-peace person. I'm saying that is a part of this process, that I've got to be kingdom-focused, God's kingdom-focused, and not Jacob's kingdom-focused. Because really and truly, a lot of my anxiety comes down to I don't want to mess up. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be a disgrace. I don't want to let my team down. I don't want to let you down. And it all really keeps coming back to me. If I seek the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, my mind, I'm probably going to make decisions that are good for you and good for my team and good for my kids and good for my wife and good for me. But if I'm seeking myself, somebody somewhere is going to get neglected. This is not a, hey, throw your meds away and quit going to counseling. Some of y'all need that. Some of us need that kind of stuff. But this is the words of Jesus who says, don't be anxious. I know what you need. Trust me. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I'm thankful that you give real and practical and applicable lessons. Lord, I've wrestled with even doing this. So God, I'm just thankful that you provided words. This is not at all the plan that I had. We are nowhere near where I thought this was going to land. But Lord, that's fine because you took over and I'm thankful for it. Lord, I pray that as we go this week, as we leave from here and get in the car to go home, as we go to school tomorrow, as we deal with whatever we got going on, Lord, I pray that you just provide comfort and wisdom, that we would see the areas that we're grabbing on far too tight, and God, that we'd let that go to you. We would trust you. We'd seek you and your kingdom. Lord, let us be like birds and just focus on today, focus on right now, and not be so wrapped up in all the other stuff. Lord, help us to kind of slow things down and just really just ask, am I honoring you in this hour? Let that become the focus of our hearts. Lord, I pray tonight, and there's anybody here that's just really wrestling with stress and worry and anxiety, God, that they would lay it at your feet. Lord, I pray that tonight there's somebody in here who just finally maybe heard, God created me, God knows me, and God knows what I need, and they want to surrender to you. Lord, I pray that they'd find an adult and they would say exactly that they want to know you. God, I pray that tonight will be a night of salvation, a night of relief, a night of encouragement as we move from this place and go and serve you. Lord, I love you so much. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.